The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show.
Hey, Cleaning Nation. This is an excellent podcast episode between Mike and Jared going over landing pages in detail. However, there is an internet connection issue that makes this episode a bit more choppier than usual. We've managed to edit it to the best of our ability, so we hope you enjoy.
Hey, Cleaning Nation. Mike Campion here with Jared Robinson. He is our, traffic guy extraordinaire. And most of the time we talk about traffic, but today Jared is going to talk more or are going to talk more about where the traffic goes. I think we probably don't emphasize enough. You know, Jared knows a lot about targeting and, you know, Facebook versus Instagram versus local service ads versus pay-per-click and plenty of nerding out to be done there. But I have always felt or believed or experienced that no matter how good the traffic is, if you send them to a dud of a landing page, and a lot of people just send people to their website without really thinking through, is this website speaking to who these people are? And the answer is virtually almost no. Doesn't matter how good the traffic is, if you don't give them a compelling offer or have anything to say, you just kind of wasted some time and money and all that. So Jared, having sent traffic to many landing pages, we're going to go over the do's and the don'ts, stuff that he likes, stuff that he doesn't like, specifically as it relates to cleaning company. So that said, I'll turn it over to you, Jared, and I'll kind of just ask questions and poke as I see fit. But the virtual floor is yours, my friend.
Perfect. So one of the things that is sort of, I guess, a problem that a lot of people face when they're building out their website or their landing pages is that they don't know how people work on websites or landing pages. So what happens is when someone comes to your landing page, they are being presented with a message. And what we don't want to do is create any confusion along the process. And so this is with anything that you do online, whether you're an e-com or whatever it be, you're supposed to be making the checkout experience as smooth as you can and remove the questions that someone could have so that they're just falling into what you're doing. So when we look at our own landing page, if we open up our website or our landing page and we offer multiple directions for people to go, we're immediately creating a question that they are being forced to answer. So it's like someone coming into a thing and we're immediately asking them questions. Well, what do you want? Well, what are you doing? Why are you here? And it's like, whoa, bro, I just showed up. Like, let me figure this stuff out. And so the way we want our landing pages to flow is to push them in the direction that we want them to go so that we can get the results that we need. Anytime someone lands on your landing page or your website and scrolls down, it means that they're interested in what you have to say, but they're not sold on what you have to say yet. And so this is another problem that we run into, is that we try to put a lot of emphasis at the top of our websites, or, and then we sort of just like, well, I don't know what to put later on or what my call action should be. But if we think about the psychology behind this, is like, I'm here and I didn't leave. I didn't click the X and leave. This means I'm going to start to scroll. And why is someone scrolling? They're not sold. And so we need to continue to hit points, buyer objections, as they scroll through your website, to be able to push them to the one spot that we want to send them. And so whether that call to action, and again, we've heard this a lot on this podcast, is not going to be your free estimate or whatever it may be, but we want to have a call to action that promotes a life that they want. And we create the landing page to have sections that push them to the life that they want. That makes sense?
So far, that's great. I just want to make a quick clarification. Jared's been using the words landing page and website semi-interchangeably, and I think that kind of clogs people up. So our definition would be, first of all, anywhere you send traffic is what we're talking about. So you could send it to your website. The problem with websites are they often have lots of options. Like Jared said, the more options you give, the more confused they are. And a confused person generally leaves as opposed to doing anything. So an option could be follow us on Facebook, you know, sign up for this, you know, check out this review, you know, click here to sign up for our newsletter. There might be a dozen options. That would be a website, which is not what we would recommend you sending paid traffic to, or in my humble opinion, even organic traffic. Let's send them somewhere. So a funnel would be, there's one thing. You can either do the thing we've asked you to do or not do the thing. You can leave or you can opt in, give us your information, book an appointment, click a link, whatever it is you're asking them to do. But if you just give them one option, you're more likely they're going to take that option. And you know what's working, what's not working. When there's 17 options and they can go anywhere, it's really hard to know what's working. So landing page for this discussion, not for all of time, might just be somewhere we send paid traffic or organic traffic where there's just one option. They can either take the next step or they cannot take it, whereas a website would be a little more, here's a bunch of information about us, about different pages that are linked together, and there's all sorts of options you may take. Okay, so that said, let me ask a couple things about, because you made a really good point. I love the picture of when they're first there, most of the time you want to have a call to action above the fold, right? Like old newspaper language of before they have to scroll. And, you know, hopefully 20, 30% of the people that are going to convert or do the thing you ask will do it right then and there. Great. The vast majority are just going to leave. Not great, but okay. I really like the idea of the rest, which are probably the important. Let's give them something, right? Because even the ones that immediately convert may not be the best people. If they're not clear, there's like, I'll just click this button to see what happens. So for me, it's like, I think the people that have read and want more information are the most valuable. So I'd love to know what chunks we should and shouldn't put, or what you see kind of works and doesn't work when you're talking about next things. Well, first of all, let's talk about all of it. The headline, what should be above the fold, so to speak, and then what specifically would you recommend for owners of cleaning companies as they scroll, or as their visitors scroll, sorry.
So the above fold, as Mike is calling it, is essentially what they see before they scroll. And so they, when the website loads or the landing, I guess I'll call it a landing page. When the landing page loads, it will, it'll show something that's there. What we want to do is immediately connect with who the person is and what they want. So, and, you know, for residential cleaning, we know that most people who are doing the cleaning from our own research and what we know is usually the wife, the home, the person who manages the home. And so we know that they have a lot of stuff on their plate, that they're juggling a lot, and that they feel that anxiety of just this constant chore of this never ending thing of cleaning. So the first thing we want to do is say, hey, your time is precious and you shouldn't be stuck in this kind of cycle that never ends with what you're doing. Let us take this off your plate and give you that time back. So we don't focus on, hey, we're a cleaning company and we're going to clean your house, because that's just, they give us dollars, we'll clean your house. But if we say, hey, we'll give you your time.
Just because people are going to be going, no, but I don't talk about I'm a cleaning company. I talk about how good of a cleaning company I am, how good I dust, how good I whatever, all under the umbrella of crap about you they don't care about. So I just want to be clear, not just that we clean. I was like, I get that. I don't talk about how I clean, Jared. I talk about how good I am and how I'm better than everyone else when I clean. Notice how there's a bunch of I's in there. We want to get rid of all the I, we, us, our company names and put in the you, your. So I just want to be clear. We're not just not talking about cleaning in any regard, the quality of the clean. No offense. Everybody says we are the best cleaners in the world. Well, all y'all are lying, but one, just by the way that the nature of those claims work. All right. Back to you, Jared. Sorry.
Yeah. So when you express the you and the yours and you're talking to them, you want to try to find a couple words in there that are a little bit more dramatic than what you would typically speak. So instead of just saying like, we'll make your home clean, we would say your home will be sparkling, for example. And so that elevates what we're doing. It's an exaggerated version of how you speak. And these work really well with headlines because you want to make a black and white contrast with what you're doing. So there's essentially two choices, and one is just amazing and one is fire and brimstone. And so, yeah, I want this over here. This is what I want. My time is being sucked away and my home will now be sparkling. Like those are two really contrast words, but it's what creates that division of like, I want this. You're using, I guess, like a sales technique to just bring two choices. Either your time's going to get sucked away or you're going to have this amazing more time sparkling home to go with what you're doing. So go ahead. Do you want to say something?
Yeah. The way I would do that is a word picture. Like when Jared says sparkling and time being sucked away, as a visual person, you want stuff that, you know, there's auditory, visual, and kinesthetic. So visual is what you can see, auditory is what you hear, kinesthetic is what you touch. Sucked really hits all of them. I can hear a sucking sound. I can see a vacuum sucking my time away, and I can feel what it feels like to be sucked away. Sparkling is different than clean. I can feel something sparkly or sparkling. So I would really create word pictures in their minds, because all we have is the words that we use. And it is shocking how the difference between the word clean or the word sparkling or the word, you know, time losing or sucking your time can make a substantial difference. Because again, all you have is the words. And we kind of get into like, what about the pictures? I want to make it look pretty. And how about the buttons? And do the colors all work? And That's fine. But at the end of the day, the words are the key. And I love what Jared said about, just creating for me word pictures or sound pictures, things that they can be like, I felt that one right in the gut. Your heart, your time is going to be inefficiently used. It means nothing to me. Your time and life is getting sucked from you second by second. It's like, oh, I can feel the drama.
Yeah. So once they see something like this, we then provide them the light at the end of the tunnel, which is the call to action to what they're doing. So it's, hey, we have this 15-minute solution call that's going to give you all these things back into your life. If they see that and go, whoa, this is too much for me. This moved quick. I'm not quite ready. I'm ready to scroll. This is probably the number one mistake I see, is that the minute someone starts to create on the below fold is when they start talking about themselves. Well, this is why we're going to do such a good job. This is what we do. We've been in business for 15 years and we use clean products and all that stuff. That isn't where their mind is right now. They've been hit with this dramatic kind of teeter-totter type headline, and now they need more. And so when they scroll is their invitation to keep going. I'm interested in what you have to say. Keep going. And that's when we speak to the person. So we start to say, this is you. This is what your life is right now. This is what you're doing daily. This is why it's hard for you. This is why you feel your stuff. And you're bringing problem awareness into this, where you're starting to bring the emotions of the problem to the surface. And they're saying, yes, holy smokes, this is me. Yes, I do feel that. You know what? That's a good point. That's totally, that's what we want. We want them to be like in their minds, agreeing with what we have to say and having them feel like we know how they feel, because this positions you into a spot where you can then really hit home a solution, and they'll believe your solution because they believe that you know them and what they're feeling.
So one of the things that people are tempted to put, and I kind of have two minds, I wanted to ask you about this anyway, so we'll do it in front of God and everybody here. Reviews. For us, I know we've tested it both ways for our own stuff, for our clients. And I would just think, and I think most people assume, well, just good reviews. Jared's cleaning is the best. I loved them. Couldn't hurt. Like they always, best case, they help a lot. Worst case, they can't hurt. We've actually felt they can hurt. We've actually found they can hurt and they can help. And I'll give my two cents, and I would love to hear Jared's probably more thought out response, is for me, I get frustrated when we're talking about time getting sucked and sparkling and you living this different life. And then the reviews like, Jared's the best, right? So when the reviews, in my opinion, don't match the narrative that we've been drawing for them, it's almost a disconnect that can screw it up. That said, I would love I know you've done this more than me. So what have you found about reviews? Always bad, always good, or probably a more nuanced answer of here's when and how you might or could use them? Real quick, Cleaning Nation, if you can think about how you found out about this podcast, maybe a tweet, a Facebook message, iTunes search, some sort of Instagram post, the only way we grow is word of mouth. We don't do paid ads. We don't run ads. You are it. The only ask I have is if you're getting value, share the love. However you found out about this, if it's a review or post, whatever it is, do that. Pay it forward so the next cleaning company owner can change their life as well. Back to the show.
Yeah. So to piggyback what you said, anytime you have a review that matches the narrative of what you're doing, that's awesome. That's great. And in fact, you can either just use the review or you can use the narrative of the review to create copy that's going to connect with your other people. So that's great. Overall, though,
real quick, what would that look like using the review to create narrative for your copy?
So in that section that we talk about after kind of the above fold, when we start to relate, usually people will use words like, oh, I used, before I hired Jared's cleaning company, my house was a disaster 24/7, and I felt this weight of, worry all the time. And so you start to pick those words out. What is she saying? Oh, she felt a weight. She used the word weight in here. So when I say, hey, do you feel the weight of a dirty house? Like, I'm literally pulling this from reviews that I've received or customers that have said things to me. And so that can be verbally or written, but you're essentially hearing those words, and those are the words they use to describe their problems. And that's how you're going to relate with other people who have those problems as well.
All right. So that, I want to hear the rest of your story, but that just brings up a very kind of murky waters. So I have also found a lot of the reviews are very superficial. Like, I don't want to say superficial, but they're writing what they appreciate how well you help them, but they're just like a lot of copyright is what we think other people's copy are. Like, we do windows and we do this, like a list of things that we do and a list of cities that we do it in and how great we are. And we see other people do it, so we do it. And it doesn't work. We just see other people do it and it self-propagates. I think reviews are the same thing. people don't know what you want. So they'll just say things that they think you want. Like what they're really saying is, I really appreciate you, Jared. And you asked me for a view and I feel like you're always in my house. So it's a nice thing to do. So I will do that. But they don't give you what I would call a real review. Like what Jared said, like, if I really thought about it, I'm like, yeah, it was a huge pain in the butt. And this goes in your sales process too. If you do your sales process right, they'll be more in tune with the problem that you actually solve. But we'll leave that be for now. They just will give a superficial, Jared cleans the best. My blinds were always dirty, but not when Jared came, they were clean as a whistle. And then we get sucked into the belief that that's what they want because that's what they told us. So how do we kind of a discern when it's a, same with us, when people be like, Mike's coaching is the best. I would recommend it to anybody. Like, I think I'm so appreciative of our clients that I'm not going to like yell at them, like do it right. But I'm probably not going to use it as copy. Like my cleaning is the best or my coaching is the best. You should use me. I want the people like, oh my gosh, you know, I was pregnant and I only had 2 months and I had been 10 years I've been cleaning and I had to get out in 2 months. And like, that's like kind of a real reveal. So how do you, A, am I being way too judgmental and too big of a pain in the butt? And if not, B, how do you kind of identify like what someone's just saying to be nice and what a real review that is actually going to kind of pull heartstrings or help people change their feelings?
Yeah. So you're 100% right in that. Okay. So let me reverse the order of this. So this is what someone, the time that you use reviews in your selling process is usually towards the end. And it's a social proof is the term of that. And so you're essentially just saying, because what's happening is once someone starts to get more committed into the sales, they're like, you know what? I think I might hire this company. I really like them. They seem to relate with me. I really, you know, there's a lot of things I connect with. They then start to move into this like checklist. Well, you know, I need to make sure everything lines up. So social proof is nice to be like, hey, don't worry. A lot of people like us. That's all you're trying to accomplish with your reviews. Hey, a lot of people have reviewed us. So realistically up on your site, you're able to just kind of towards the bottom of your stuff, say, we have over 1,000 five-star reviews that people go, great, done, check. Not here's every single review. Here's it all typed out for you. Here's my top three reviews that are 8 paragraphs long that I want you to read. No one's going to believe it. Everyone's going to know you're putting your best reviews forward. Is this genuine? Is this not? I don't know. So just saying, hey, this is where we're at. It's what we got. A lot of people like us. Done. You've done the work. Now, to jump over to what makes a good review versus a negative or a review that we wouldn't use is essentially, it's just that I was here and then this solved this particular problem. So the more specific, the more they describe where they're at to where they're going, those are the type of reviews we would want to pay the most attention to, as opposed to just how good you clean or how well you did that one time you came over or how your vacuum marks were perfect. None of that is what we would deem as like something we'd use in our marketing. But what we would use was, this is what my life was before, and this is how I felt. So more emotion. And so anytime someone's willing, says, hey, I'd love to leave your review, you can say, awesome, love that so much. Would you mind sharing kind of where you were emotionally before the cleaning process and where you are now that your home is clean, and keeping them focused on what their life is like as opposed to the vacuum lines in their carpet?
Yeah, feeling over cleaning is the money, just period, for all phases of marketing. Okay. So I think you've done a really good job, Jared. Oh, so two last, I think we've only got time for two. One, what do you not like to see? I think we've done a good, I shouldn't say not like to see, but what have you found to be ineffective? What really kinks up the works? And then two, call to action. So say we've given them copy that's compelling and they're like, I like this, I want it. And again, if we have time, call to action for residential versus commercial. So they might, cause they might not be the same. So what things have you seen that'll really kill a landing page or conversion? And then what kind of call to actions might you recommend for residential or commercial?
So I would say the biggest killers of a landing page is, well, the number one is for sure when we just use really generic copy. And I think ChatGPT can be really helpful for a lot of owners out there, because you can put in your stuff and then say, hey, add some spice to this. Help me make this more dramatic. Could even be a way to say it. Sometimes I take my ads and I say, write this like a third grader. Because for me, when I'm writing my ads, I want them to make sure that they're really easy to people can read them really easily and that they can, yeah, it can read quick. And so it kind of dumbs down. Luckily, I write like a third grader, so it changes like one word. But for the most part, I'm trying to get that concise. On your landing page, I would try to add a little bit more flavor to what I'm doing. Try to bring up more emotion. And so you can even say, can you add more emotion to this headline? And watch it put in these more dramatic words that we're discussing here. And you'll see that it'll really make a difference to what you're doing. I would say that that is probably one of the biggest killers. Another killer is the focus. We're really proud to have a website. So we want our logo at the top. We want our picture. We want to talk about who we are. Those are the ones that it just people don't care. And there's nothing that's going to make someone click away faster than when you start taking them down a wrong path. Because what else are they supposed to do? Like, essentially, they're like in this little vehicle and you've just taken them off road. They're just going to go, no, and hop out of the taxi, call it a day. And that's leaving your site and that's killing your clicks. It's killing your traffic. It's killing everything. Take them where they need to go. Always be thinking of them every step of the way.
Yeah. And I want to contrast that. Before you use paid traffic, I think for a long time, websites were just billboards. So people just came to your website. They already knew who you were. They already know what they wanted, generally to call you or get your hours or a price or something. So when you talked about you, it was fine because of where the person was coming. But when you do paid traffic, it's a completely different kettle of fish. So if, you know, I'm going to Jared's website and I just want to know his number. Well, yeah. Hi, I'm Jared and I'm the best. And here's a smiley picture of me. And here's my phone number. Works great. But when I'm doing paid traffic and I don't know who Jared is and I didn't come and I don't give a crap about Jared, I want to know what he can do for me. And all you talk about is Jared. That's going to be a problem. Also, just a quick little bonus, and I'll let Jared finish with calls to action. You can also, for those of you that are a little fancier, a little more or whatever, I don't know if you've done this yet, Jared, I actually got it from one of my mentors, is if you have a copywriter you like, you know, like a Dan Kennedy or Ben Settle, or, you know, if you're a copyright nerd, you'll know some of these names. You can tell ChatGPT, write me an email or a headline or a ad or a landing page in the style of, and holy crap, is it actually, I use Claude Plus, which I think is Google's thing. So I don't know if ChatGPT is as good. I can't vouch, but you can ask it to speak in the way of a great copywriter. And by golly, does it sound like that copywriter? So that's there's great. A quick little bonus. Yeah, it's nuts. I'm also saying this, Jared, like, hey man, for our stuff, you know, if you've got a couple copywriters you dig, let's or that resonate with our audience, you know. Okay. So calls to action. Now you've got them. They're interested. What's the next step for residential and what's the next step for commercial? Well, I think we'll call it after that.
Yeah. They follow. You have to think about, we have to reverse engineer. So it's, what do we want from this scenario? And the answer is we would like to be able to sell to them. We'd like to be able to get them on the phone.
Hold on 1 second. What Jared said is so important. I've got to just hold it up and put lights to it. What do I want from this interaction? And don't be so silly. It's not for them to buy something necessarily. Like if I go on a first date and I'm not a kind of guy, whatever, you know, I wouldn't be like, what do I want from this date? Marriage. Like it's going to be to figure out if I want a second date. Like, see what I'm saying? So when you're doing this thing, it's not always for them to be a customer forever starting today. Like maybe depending on where you are in the process, but just make sure when you answer the question, don't take it lightly. Jared said it naturally because it's natural to marketers, but it's not often natural to owners. Don't take a minute to go, what's a reasonable thing to want from this? Is it a click? Is it to opt into something? Is it to subscribe to a podcast? Is it to download something? Is it give me their email? Is it to click in? Is it just to read more? Is it to watch a video? Is it to schedule an appointment? Is that a 15-minute appointment or 60-minute appointment? Is it in person or is it on the phone? Is it to call a 1-800 number and listen to a pre-recorded deal? Is it to watch a 10-minute webinar? Like really get clear on what you want, not from this total interaction. I know you want them to be a customer, but you can't do all of that right now. Right now, we're looking for one call to action and it's really important. If Jared said nothing else, and I promise I'll let him talk, but just helped you get clear on what you really want from them, the call to action almost becomes self-evident. But if you don't have clarity, I want them to be a customer. I want to buy for my thing. It's like, great. We'll just put in a credit card and see how many people enter it. Very few. Okay. Sorry. Rant over. Back to you, buddy.
that's great. Yeah. And so you reverse engineer what it is that we want. And the piece of advice that I can always give is that we want to make sure that it's clear to the people who are on the landing page that the button that's on your page is moving them towards whatever it is that your page is promoting. So if your page is promoting that they're going to have more free time in their life, then that button needs to promote that they're going to get more free time in life. That's what they're opting in for. So instead of being like, hey, you get more free time in your life. And then like the button's like, you know, give me your name and email. It's like, wait, why?
How does this connect?
Tell me why I need to give you my name. How does this connect? And so when they click, if we say what we would do in the scenario is we want their name and email, but we're going to tell them why their name and email is moving them towards getting them the life that they want. And that's how you technically move someone into what they're doing. So I want my sparkly home is a great call to action from, if that's what you're hitting time and this, I'm ready for my sparkly home. They click this. Then from the opt-in, you can say, hey, we're going to get to know you better. We're telling us where your name and email And then they type that in, boom, now they're into the next spot. Hey, we have this 15-minute solution call that we're going to get in and really figure out what it is that you need. This is the calendar that you're going to book your phone on. Go ahead and do this. We'll hook you up. They do that. Perfect. Here's this thank you page video that's going to walk you through what that process is going to look like, kind of bring your anxiety down over this thing that you just bought online, really make you feel comfortable with me, my face, and so that this sale will go more smooth. Now, obviously, this is not what you would write out, but this is what we want to accomplish. They then do that in there. Do you hear how each of that was broken into a step, all leading into what they opted in for, which was to have more time in their life? But each one was a necessity. We required each step to be necessary to get that in their life.
So well said. So we said a bunch. If I had to focus on any of it, that last part is probably the key. Understanding what your end goal is at the beginning and make sure the end goal is not to sell them something, because people love buying stuff, but they do not like being sold to. So if you can really get clear on the problem that you're solving and focus on that and how their life will be better and phrase everything about that and each thing that you ask them to do, clearly connect it to how their life will be better. So for commercial, it might be 10 ways to save money to get your cleaner to behave, or 10 ways to switch cleaning companies without it being a big headache. And maybe they just download a free PDF. So there's an obvious, why would I put in my name and email? Because I'd like to email you this PDF that you want, or this short video, or a checklist, or some sort of thing of value. And then on the thank you page, you might be like, hey man, your PDF is going to be in your email in about 6 minutes. But if you really want me to help you implement the systems, the six things that start saving you money, let's jump on a 15-minute call and I'll see if I can't help you. So each, you see, it's never about selling you crap. Let's get jump on a 15-minute call and see about signing you up. They're not interested in signing up. They're interested in getting the thing that they want. So if I had to pick one of, they're all important, but if I had to pick one, that call to action, starting with the end in mind and A, getting clear on your end in mind, starting with that, making about them, reverse engineering it, all gold. Any closing words, buddy?
No. Great.
Jared says, we're done. We're done. Cleaning Nation. If you want more, growmycleaningcompany.com has a ton of free information. I think there's a 40-minute on-demand training, which is probably the best we got, growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out. We'll see you there.
Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me, but like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing, share it with a friend, share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431, 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now, 602-932-6431. Give me a text, say hey, can't wait to meet you.